to the Style My Mind podcast. On this show, we decipher the secrets, tips, and guidance of fashion and psychology with the world's most inspiring people. Our mission is to unlock the power to become the best version of yourself by turning their wisdom and knowledge into practical advice. So you probably have ever wondered, like, what are you going to wear today? Or why do you have nothing to wear even though your wardrobe is filled to the brim? Well, today we're having a very special guest joining us again. She's a chartered psychologist, researcher, stylist, and professor of fashion psychology at London College of Fashion. Her work explores the connection between clothing and human expression, sustainable consumption, and hedonic well-being. I'd like to warmly welcome Dr. Dionne Terlong. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dionne. Well, it's needed because, you know, you're a big caliber and very inspiring person. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's very nice.
So diving straight into the questions, how would you summarize your professional and academic experience?
All of it? How would I summarize my professional? Oh, my professional and academic experience varied. Varied is what I'd say. Because obviously I practice across different fields. So I'm kind of like a dual practicing psychologist in that I do different things. And my experience of kind of academia is that once people qualify or begin working in one area, they tend to stick to that. So I feel that it can be quite a boxed-in kind of area of working, you know, especially in psychology, that if you are a clinical psychologist, you just do that. If you are a health psychologist, you just do that. If you have a PhD in this one area of psychology, you just look at that. But I am a nosy person, and I am always curious about new things, so I hop around. So I trained in research methods and data analysis, so basically statistics. I loved doing lots of data stuff for a while. And then I kind of shifted over to more child and educational psychology. I did my professional doctorate in that, and I loved that. I still practice to some extent. And then I started researching and working in fashion psychology. I did some training to support that. And now I also lecture in fashion psychology. So for me, I would describe my experience as varied.
Yeah, but very psychological leaning. So where does the passion for fashion come from?
Where does the passion for fashion come from for me? It's interesting because when I first became interested in this area, I kind of rejected the word fashion from it. And I was very much more interested in style. So I would probably still stick with that, and that I don't necessarily have a passion for fashion in the sense of I'm not that bothered about trends, and I am not overly concerned about my own dress sense. Like, I wouldn't dress that outlandish. I'm not following high fashion or anything like that. But I can be quite particular.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have my own very clear style. Like, I like quite either tailored or quite classic or slightly understated, but like very clean is what I quite like. And I like lots of accessories, as people know. So I have quite a clear style and the styles that I tend to like. But I would say my love style, I think it comes from my family, definitely. Like my nan, was probably like one of the best dressed ladies, and she sewed and does sew. And my nan, she would always say, you need to look like somebody. And I remember being little thinking, what does that mean? And like, everybody is somebody. But it's just, I think it means like dressing like the person that you want to be, that you believe that you are, and representing that person in the best way you can to the world. And then like just growing up, I think I just always loved, I guess, fashion style, like watching the clothes show live, trying to make dresses for my Barbie and Cindy dolls. Or I used to sit in like lessons. I thought I was so cool because I was like sketching outfits and dresses, and I had a little portfolio that I made that I carry around. I don't know where that is anymore. I think I thought I might be a fashion designer, but I didn't want to. But I think I am mostly interested in what other people wear but not only what they wear, but why they wear it and how they feel when they are wearing it. That's what I'm interested in. So I think I'm very much interested in personal, individual style.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that elaborate answer. And it's so interesting that you said that you don't like to, you know, refer to your passion as fashion, because fashion is, of course, so much more than just styling and dressing yourself, and has very dark sides to it as well. And thank you so much. So how did the bridge happen between, you know, styling and, you know, dressing yourself and sewing things for your Barbie and, you know, creating things, and then over to psychology? Like, how did that, like, form?
How did I bridge that? I feel bad for anybody who's heard me on any other podcast. I think I've heard her mention this before. But the way I bridged it was that, I guess, even in my late teens, early 20s, I think because I'm quite an observant person, I'm quite good at observing what people wear and noticing also what suits them. So they might wear certain things. I think, oh, that really suits you today. Or like the neckline, that's great. The hemline on that is great. The form of that is great. The color. And I quite like complimenting people. And I think when I was in my late teens, early 20s, people would always ask me to go shopping with them, which is good. It's good. It's tiring, but it's good. And I guess you get to spend other people's money rather than your own. So that's a positive as well, I guess. And so I did a lot of that. And then when I was doing my professional doctorate, I decided to do a training course as well with London College of Style. And I trained to be a personal stylist. So I did that as well on the side. And then I started doing little bits of personal styling work for a company called Style Doctors, where you would like take people around Westfield Shopping Center and style them. So I was working as a stylist to an extent, but I was also doing a professional doctorate in psychology. And I just felt like there should be more overlap between the two worlds. And I had seen from working or taking friends shopping and talking to friends and then talking with the people that I was taking shopping in a professional capacity, that there was a psychological element there. And I could tell from the way people spoke about themselves and the way people spoke about the shopping experience, in that people would often speak very negatively about themselves and things that they thought they could and they couldn't wear, kind of saying, oh, I want something to hide my legs, I want something to hide my fat arms, and these very harsh, quite injurious words that I just thought, you know, what would make you speak about yourself like that? And what is leading to people limiting their kind of fashion choices based on how they feel about themselves? There was just more going on for me that I thought I would love to work with. And also people kind of seeing certain brands or stores, they would kind of say, I can go in that one, but I can't go in that one. That one's for me, but that one's not for me. And I was like, what does that mean again? Like, these are all shops, you know, they're shops for people with, like, you know, a human body of some sort that can put into the clothing. You have that. So in my mind, you meet the criteria. But for them, there was a message that was obviously being very loudly received in terms of how those shops and brands were marketed and who they believed they were and weren't for. So this is kind of this in-group, out-group kind of thing coming into play there as well. So I just thought to myself, again, there's a psychology there, but we as psychologists, we don't really think about these things. And I also was thinking about the way that what you wear impacts on your mood. It impacts on your self-esteem. It impacts on your confidence. The way you might walk a little taller through the world when you think you're dressed well for the day and you're happy in what you're wearing, and the way that it really can feel, you can feel quite low when you feel that you're not comfortable in what you're wearing. Or it's not even about you thinking, I don't like my outfit today, but a person perhaps who is really struggling financially and does not have the means to buy clothes that feel, that even feel represent them, that feel like them, they have to just make do and wear whatever they have to hand. You know, we see that with people, for example, who are homeless, that how they feel almost dehumanized when they're not able to do the most basic human things, like getting dressed and choosing what you want to wear for the day. So for me, I think there's a lot more psychology in play when we think about clothing and the role clothing plays in our lives than in psychology. When I was training, I was noticing was coming up. It wasn't coming up. And for me, I thought that was a bit of a gap. So I wanted to look into that a bit more and try to bridge the gap.
That's absolutely amazing. And kind of similar to how I pivoted into psychology, because I come from a fashion background. And for me, I was always interested in the why. Why do I dress how I dress? So that's I can very much, feel that what you were saying. And yeah, speaking of wearing and how it makes you feel and et cetera. So you're wearing all black today. Can you tell me, or can you tell us why you chose to wear what you're wearing today?
I'm wearing joggers because they're comfortable, and I just came back from a CrossFit class this morning, which is horrendous. So you want to feel comfy. When your body is in pain, you want to feel comfy. That's we do use clothing in that way. You use it to comfort yourself, don't you? And kind of, you know, give yourself almost a sartorial cuddle in lieu of a real cuddle. How do I choose to wear today? I just put an all black because it's easy. I don't wear all black a lot, but I do wear it often-ish. But I quite like wearing all black, and I think it's quite a powerful color. I think it's a very clean color. I think it can look, not necessarily my joggers, but I think it can look quite smart, and it can look considered. And I particularly like wearing all black when it's not just one material all the way through, but you're kind of mixing textures. So the detail comes from the different textures and the cuts and the things that you're putting together. It feels like there's a bit more of an art to it rather than going, I'll wear lots of bright colors, or I'm going to wear something flowery, which you can do. Love it. But there's something, you know, I love when you see a person walk down the street and they are just wearing like layers of black, and it just looks so artistic, particularly in menswear. I often see it. I do love to see it. But yes, I just chose to wear this today because it was comfortable. And and I like black. So I'm not actually fully dressed for the day, so I'm going out shortly. So if I was wearing that would be an easy, better question, because I'm still not sure what I'm going to wear. But I feel it's sunny today, so my brain is really saying color. So I'm going to probably put some color on. I'm thinking maybe like a very deep, hot pink. So I'm going to a barbecue. And I feel in quite a good mood today and a quite high energy. So again, that's making me feel color. And I'm feeling maybe like something maybe like a skirt, actually. Something that's slightly flowy around the legs. I feel like I want to move. So I feel like quite dynamic-y. So I can feel what I want to wear, which is not this today. But on other days, it might be something completely different. But the sun is giving me energy today. So I feel like I want to wear color. Is something a little bit more fun today. So I will be wearing that.
That's so amazing how you just described like your thought process, but I want to actually dive deeper into that. So which components of thinking or which components of or attributes of clothes determine what you wear like for the day or for an occasion or
situation? Just me or for other or generally?
For you personally.
Me, what attributes? I think for me, something that I take into account often is how it feels on my body. So for example, if I have a particularly hectic and potentially stressful day, I don't like to have on anything that will make me feel physically uncomfortable. Anything that's a bit too tight or restrictive. It's like I want to focus on what I need to do or whatever's at hand. And sometimes for me, if it's something very fitted, it's almost like my attention is drawn to those areas of my body that are being nipped and pinched and pulled in. Then I feel distracted by that. And I don't want to be distracted by that if I'm busy for the day. It doesn't mean I wear something like big and flowy, but I wear something very, maybe a little more comfortable. Whereas today, I can feel, I don't really care if it's comfortable later, actually. I just want it to look fun and be colorful. I definitely think about the fit of it, like the rigidity, I would say, for example. Mm-hmm. If I had a very busy day and I was a bit stressed, I wouldn't wear like my like rigid jeans, even though they fit perfectly fine, you know, they're a bit more stiff. I wouldn't want that. I want something that moves very easily with me. What else? What other things? I think about maybe the color or the pattern as well. And for me, I link that to my mood as well.
Okay.
I think I tend to wear, when I'm feeling happiest or most confident, I wear either very bright colors or all black, like all black. And I like those two. And then if I'm kind of like in between mood, I'll wear anything else. I don't really wear ditzy patterns. That doesn't really speak to me, but I quite like linear things and quite graphic pattern. I don't mind that. But I think that's what I look at. I will look at the pattern, the color, and the fit. And depending on my mood and what I need to do for that day, it will vary. Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. So when did you start starting to experiment with how you dress? Like, which age was that?
It's hard, isn't it? And this is why I mentioned before, kind of like homeless people as well, because and financial issues, is because I think from a young age I was always exploring, like trying to use bed sheets to make a dress or whatever. And but when you, I didn't grow up very much money at all. So when you got very little money, your opportunities to explore and to experiment are limited, because you can't. So you only have what you have. You only have the hand-me-downs that are passed to you, or you only have the items that you've managed to get from the charity shop with your mom. So you have very little chance to experiment with fashion. But I remember the having certain items that I felt more myself in. And I remember being so happy when I had those. And that's what I know. I wouldn't say that's what I noticed, but I've always been very aware of how I feel in clothes and the impact that has on me. I remember an outfit that was bought for me by my aunt when I was visiting her in Harrow, and we bought it from Tammy Girl. And I remember it was these little cream low-rise jeans with a black belt with like a little kind of flower power, a buckle, a matching cream top that opened up and so the belly was out, and then a matching necklace, which I had a little flower power necklace on that to match the belt. And I felt so good in that outfit because it was just for me. It wasn't a hand-me-down. I got to choose it, so it reflected me. It was Dion's outfit, and I felt very much like Dion in that. I remember also having this puffer coat when I must have been about year 5 or 6, was like about 10 years old, and it was multicolored puffer coat. And again, I loved that because it was very fun and it was vibrant, and I felt confident in that. So for me, if I think back, I've always had this interest in clothing, but I would say I didn't tend or start to experiment with fashion or with my clothes. Do you know what I would say? I would say in terms of actually truly experimenting and saying, let me try this and let me take a risk, I wouldn't say it was until I finished my doctorate, honestly.
Okay.
Because now I think about it, before that I would have fun with style and I knew what my style was, but I would say I played it a bit more safe. Now I would more likely put on whatever I feel like putting on, and I would try something. If I don't like it, I don't like it, but I don't care. But I would say that it wasn't until I finished my doctorate, and that's because before then I was always working towards something, and I felt that I had to play the game, and I was very concerned with how people saw me and seeing me as a capable person. And I think as being a woman of color, you often feel that people look at you and they have strong presumptions and assumptions about who you are and what you can do and what you do. And I wanted to be a psychologist, so you'd become a doctor. So I was very concerned before that, when I was studying and working my way up, to present myself in a way that looked like I belonged there. So I would wear lots of little cardigans. That's what I thought professional people wore. And things a bit more kind of safe, I would say, a little more boring. But it wasn't necessarily me, but I was trying to fit in with the people I saw around me and what I thought I needed to dress like in order for them to take me seriously. But then when I passed my doctorate and then I had my title and I had my qualification in hand, I was like, well, that's it, I'm done. And I'm a doctor. No one can ever take that away from me. And nobody needs to tell me whether I'm good enough or not good enough anymore. I've proved it. That's it. So then I think once I got to that point, I started to even do my hair in more traditional styles, in cameos and single plaits and in like big curly styles. I was a bit more embracing who I was, and I will wear whatever I want to wear when I want to wear it, because I've already accomplished the goals that I want to accomplish and it can't be taken away. So I don't need to prove it or show that I fit in or that I am good enough to be in a space anymore. So I think I've started taking more risks since then, actually.
What advice, like knowing now that you went through all of this, what advice could you give to younger people who maybe don't even want to do a doctorate, or, you know, don't care about a title necessarily, but they still care a lot about other people's opinions? Do you have in some way or another like advice for them to just embrace more who they are and, you know, care less about other people's opinions?
It's a tricky one, because I think you probably want a little bit of a balance. Because you shouldn't dress for other people per se, but you also want to move through the world comfortably. And I think we all want to be accepted by our peers, don't we? So, and it's nice when you wear something for other people to go, oh, I like what you're wearing today. Like, you get that feedback. We like to get feedback as human beings. So I think it's about balance is what I would say. I think you need to think about when you get dressed, one, and what you're putting on, who are you putting it on for? And it should be at least 95% you, very, very strongly. But I guess you, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Thinking. But the advice I would give them is the most helpful thing is to figure out what your own style is. Because what often happens is when you don't have your own clear sense of style, or you haven't taken time to figure out what you like and what you don't like, and why you like that and you don't like that, and what works for you and doesn't work for you in terms of what you feel comfortable in and what you think works well for your body. Not what other people say, like, you're this body shape, you're that body shape, therefore you must wear this. Forget that. It's about what you think works for your own body and you're happy with. I think once you know that, then you will be much more confident in what you're wearing, and you will be probably less swayed, I think, by friends' opinions. And also, not only that, but you'll be less swayed by trends. And that's a massive issue, particularly for not only just young people, many people, in that a new trend comes in and they say, oh, so-and-so is wearing this new trend. I've seen it on TikTok, I've seen it on Instagram, and they want to jump on that trend. But they're only following trend after trend because I think they themselves may not have got or had developed their own secure sense of style. If you look at people, and if you look at like famous people who've got quite a strong signature style, some of them, they stick with it for decades, decades and decades. They are wearing the same thing. They're recognizable for their style. They are not saying, oh my gosh, Barbie calls in fashion, I better suddenly run out and buy something in that color. That's not happening, is it? They stick with their style. So I think, yeah, it becomes like a, yeah. So I think for young people, I would say, experiment as much as you want, as much as you feel confident and you are able to. Figure out what you like and what you don't like, what works for you and what doesn't work for you, so that whenever you make a decision about what you're wearing, you are able to confidently and competently make that decision for yourself. So you're not just always going, what are you wearing tonight? Oh, okay. Is that the vibe of tonight? Okay, I'm going to wear that. I'm basing other people or watching what your friends are wearing. Okay, it's good to get the nice feedback from your friends, but it should be led by you in terms of what you're choosing to wear. I hope that makes sense.
That's such a good, what you just said, like, dress and, you know, feel comfortable with like receiving compliments, but lead the conversation. Mm-hmm. What you wear and how you express yourself. That's such a good way of phrasing this. Thank you so much.
When somebody says to you, oh, I love your outfit, you look great today, you want to be able to say, yeah, I know. Not, oh my gosh, really? Because it shouldn't be a surprise to you because you chose the outfit. That's what I was going to say. So that's how you know you're leading it first rather than just waiting for the feedback of others.
Yeah, that's so true. That's how I approach it now as well. I had to grow into this a lot because I was very, you know, like, it was really, really important for me to what other people thought during a time of my life. And now I'm kind of like, you know, if I wear a blouse and people think, you know, it makes me look bigger than I am or whatever, then let that be my problem. I just want to feel how I want to feel for the day. And that's just, you know, you projecting potentially your insecurities onto me. So, yeah. How would you say, because for me, as an example, how I dress very much because I want to represent a certain self in that moment. You know, I want to express that to the outside world. That's how I personally approach clothes. How would you say, is there a link to self and self, you know, your own style, or is there no link, you know, especially from your psychological knowledge?
Can you say a bit more? Do you mind? Just so I could understand what you mean by the question.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, as an example, I wanted to, you know, represent vibrancy and a good mood with my happy, fun Jen kind of expressing out a little bit, but still serious and still dressy. That's how I wanted to express myself today. How do you think is there a link between like your sense of self and how you dress? Or is this a personal thing?
Yeah, definitely. I think I would say firstly that it's limited, I would say though. I would say it's limited because we are most often at the mercy of what is in store or online in stock at any given time. And what is online and in stock at any given time is based on trends again, isn't it? So, you know, as much as we might say, my personal self is kind of medieval chic. If that's your style, you're going to find it quite tricky to find that. So unless you can make clothes yourself or you're very good at thrifting and finding pieces that can reflect that, it can be tricky. But in general, I think there is a link between what you choose to wear and the self, because we develop from a young age, we begin building on it. We develop a sense of self, which becomes more crystallized, and we get a clearer sense of what that looks like as we have experiences in life. We look at how we respond to things, how we deal with things, what we like, what we don't like, what brings us joy, what doesn't. And all of this is like kind of like, I don't know, like a picture. That's like the pixels are filling in. You're getting a clearer sense as you progress. So I think what we wear is a reflection of the self, because what we choose to wear comes from the self. When you go into a shop or you're on or online, the things that you choose, the racks are full. There's so much stuff. You know, if it wasn't guided by the self in some way, you'd probably just kind of like close your eyes and wiggle your finger around and grab something. You wouldn't care what it was particularly, because it's just clothes. You go, something to cover the top half of my body. That'll do. But we don't. You kind of look at items and we consider them in light of how we see ourselves, and we, I guess, perceive those. I guess there's a thing called schema, which I'm sure you learn about. So schema are basically a set of constructs that develop over time, and they influence how we see, how we perceive, and how we take in the world. And they are developed based on what we've experienced of the world. So literally, as individuals are walking around and moving through the world and shopping online or in charity shops and thrifting and in stores, they are literally all walking around with their own little schemas, which I describe as like little windows, okay, that they're viewing the world through. And they're scanning through like this. So each person has a different schema, and which reflects the self that they are. And they're going to hone in on different items to different people, because the way they see the world is different. The way they've experienced the world is different. Therefore, their preferences are going to be different. So I do think it's going to be an inextricable link that you can't break between the self and what you wear. Because, you know, when, I don't know about you, but when you go into a shop and you pick up something, sometimes you look at it and then you put it right back. And you might not even consciously in your head know why, but you will know there's something about that that's not right for you or you don't like. But if somebody came and asked you specifically, you could say what it is about it you don't like, but I bet it'd be quite hard to explain why. Like, why is that something that you wouldn't like where somebody else would like it? And it's linked to yourself because we're individuals. We shape differently.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's a really good point. Especially considering you talked a lot about like consumption and stores and, you know, like how we go into stores, and how we shop. How would you characterize the importance of consumption in general, or fashion consumption, clothing consumption in our society?
It's too important. I wish it was less important, though. I think consumption has become such a key human trait. It's become such a defining characteristic of us. You know, it's like we should rewrite that phrase that I think, therefore I am. It should be like I consume, therefore I am. But I think it's very important. But I wish it wasn't. It's almost like people now work so they can consume. People consume for fun. People consume because they're bored. People consume because they think they need to, because their friends are. It's just become, in my opinion, particularly for fashion, a thoughtless, reactive habit. And it's disturbing, actually. And I think, for me, I use that word disturbing because once we start engaging in behaviors that are in the long run detrimental, not in the long run, short run, detrimental to people and planet. And when we are engaging in those behaviors and not considering, one, how detrimental they are, and two, we are doing them in a almost autopilot way, that's when it's concerning, because we are not often consciously enough making decisions about what we want and don't want, and what we, and more importantly, what we need and don't need. We are just buying because that's what we do. We consume. And I think that needs to be challenged and broken, because that should not be the defining characteristics of a human person. You know, there are so many more important things that we could be doing with our time, and you could be doing with your money, actually, than just buying more clothes. If you're not naked right now and you're warm and your wardrobe's full, do you need more clothes? I'm not sure.
That's such a fair point. And I'm so glad, well, in some capacity, glad that this trend of sustainability is coming. I just hope it stays and gets out of this trendy kind of box, and it actually shifts into more like an overall need for society. And I found you were very, very humble. In my opinion, it's not only necessarily just a habit. I believe that for some people, it's even an addiction. And I find that very scary to consider. I also found myself often in the loop of like, oh yeah, everyone is wearing that. Well, when I was younger, in my teenage years, I was like, oh, everyone was wearing that. I remember that in my high school years, there was like a summer where everyone was wearing like this checkered skirt and everyone wanted it, and I wanted it then too, but I still wanted to be, you know, distinct. So I bought it instead of like the pink and black checkered, I bought it in white and black checkered. It was the same dress, but I literally asked, can I please buy this skirt, even though it was not absolutely a waste of money for me to wear like three times and being thrown in the corner of my closet. And it took me such a long time, and also being engaged in the industry, to, you know, change my thinking about clothes. And I haven't set my foot into a proper store in years. I've gone to charity shops, but I also am privileged enough where I'm able to, you know, had education in sewing and be able to, you know, rework my things. So it's very, very important to just keep that in mind. But speaking to that, knowing how consumption can be making people in a way even ill or disconnected even further from themselves, do you have an idea if we're able to, or if or how we could flip that script and utilize clothing and fashion to increase our well-being rather than destroying it?
Hmm. You can quote me. To me, when I think about that, and I often mention the link between clothing and well-being, and I think it's just about acknowledging it in the first instance. And I think that when we talk about clothing, and that particularly when we use the word fashion as well, that well-being is the last thing that comes to mind for people, isn't it? You know, we think about looking good, we think about runways, we think about models, we think about what's in fashion, we think about all of these things, but it's all very outwardly focused. It's all about how, it's all about people perception, how other people see you, and what kind of image you're portraying to the world. But then we think about the other way around, in what impact clothing has on you as an individual. And that's where I think the well-being element comes in as well, because trying to think how to phrase this. I think, yeah, the well-being element there comes in, because I think I have seen it happen with people who had very low confidence, who just felt, do you know what, fashion is not for me. I don't try to look nice in my clothing. I just wear anything that's like plain and fits me and is clean, because fashion is not something that's for me. They felt very excluded from the fashion industry because of the way historically, it is changing a little bit, but the way historically it was marketed and the way it was portrayed and all these beautiful skinny people, and even saying that, you know, that being skinny was synonymous with beautiful, which is obviously not the case. That it made people feel a lot of it, very excluded, which made them feel as though there is no point trying because they can never reach that standard. And that being the standard that had been set that one needed to reach. Of course, it's nonsense. That's not the standard. You don't need to reach that. You dress for yourself. But I think that could have such a massive impact on a person's well-being, a negative impact, if they don't realize that what they're choosing to wear and what they're choosing not to wear, and the way they are speaking and thinking about themselves in clothing, that it is being impacted, or it is being influenced by messages in the media and messages in fashion. I think once they have an understanding of where that narrative that they hold has come from and recognized it, then you can challenge it. And that will positively impact your well-being, because you say, oh, you know, for ages I've avoided wearing any dress that's too colorful, that brings attention to me, and then I'm trying too hard. I realize that now. Or, you know, for ages I just wouldn't go in, I don't shop in person, because I feel like if I walk into a store, people will look at me and think, what, why are you in here? This is not for you. I've had people actually say that they only shop online because they don't like to walk physically into the physical stores, because they believe that they are not the type of person that should be in there. And that's massive. I think that's a horrible way for any person to feel. And I think the thing about fashion and clothing is that it's not the most important thing, and it's not a massive thing, but I describe it as being like a little pick that's like picking and chipping away at a person. And every time I believe that you get dressed in the morning and you look in the mirror and you kind of don't feel happy in what you're wearing, you got to go, it's the best I can look. That'll do. That's chipping away at your self-esteem and your confidence. Every time you talk about yourself negatively, you say, oh, don't I look horrible in this? That's doing it again. Every time you say, I can't shop from here because it's not for me, that's doing it. Every time you try to shrink into a corner, not draw attention because you feel like you don't, it's all chipping away, and that will have a detrimental impact over time on your well-being. So what I'm trying to say in a very long-winded way is that I think once you're able to recognize the narratives that you have in relation to yourself and your clothing, then you can challenge them, and you can unpick and understand where they came from, and then you can work at changing them. Then you take back the power, and then that could have a massive impact on your well-being positively, because then you can start to dress for yourself. You can dress happy. You can think, I'm going to put on my favorite top this week because it makes you feel comfortable and happy. You can put on your joggers because you just done a CrossFit class and you know that they're from, like, where are these ones from? They're Pangaea. They're so soft. I know they're like a little cuddle on your legs. It's nice. Or you can say, you know, it's whatever you want, but you're very conscious and aware of how you're making use of your clothing because you've done that exploration. So I think that's what I would say.
That's amazing. Yeah, while you were talking about like how the well-being impacts you personally, like on like a, you know, personal level, I was also thinking, it kind of came to my mind also, well-being is such a big word, right? Like financial well-being as an example. Yeah. And considering the cost of living crisis we're in at the moment, it is so hard to find balance of, you know, being true to who you are and feeling comfortable in your clothes and also experience the thrill of newness while being conscious, you know, for your pocket book. So it's such a big picture. And then also coming back to like the point of sustainability, for a lot of people, like shopping sustainable, they think they have to shop sustainable brands, which of course is a good way to go. But with all the greenwashing happening, you don't necessarily know, is this actually sustainable? So yeah, it's really hard to find like balance in all of that. So I'm wondering, like, what tip can you give, being so involved with styling also, and, you know, people consuming and purchasing and the psychology behind all of that? How can people be more sustainable while, you know, finding the balance with their guilt? You know, because, you know, some people feel guilty of not being able to shop sustainable enough or use less waste or anything. And also finding the balance to yourself and your pocketbook.
I'm trying to, I know what I want to say, and I'm hoping it doesn't sound too simplistic. It's all, I'm kind of, of course I am, but my first thought is the obvious, isn't it? It's that if you want to be sustainable and you want to look after your pocket and not spend too much, is just don't buy more stuff. If you think that the best way to be sustainable is to buy sustainable brands, even more sustainable is just don't buy stuff. Like, I don't mean never ever again, but so many of us, like, I know I used to be as guilty as anybody in shopping all the time, and I would shop for fun. It was a habit. So you say to your friend, what are you doing after work? Do you want to go into town? Yeah, let's go. You walk around and you come up with bags full of stuff. Never before, but before you've gone, you haven't considered, what do I need? Do I need a pair of jeans? Do I need a new pair of pumps? Do I need a jumper? You haven't gone there with a need or a plan. You just gone, oh, that looks nice. Oh, that looks nice. You've just gone just because it's something fun to do. It's entertainment. So I would say the thing about shopping that people find tricky is breaking. And I use the word habit because I think it is a habit. It's breaking the cycle. Now, we fall into habits and we form habits when we engage in a behavior. That behavior gives some kind of positive feedback to us, whether we feel good in it, or somebody compliments us, and then, you know, the reward system of the brain goes ding, ding, ding. I like that. Do more of it. So your brain's working against you to make you do more. Society's working against you to make you do more because people are commenting. Also, you watch TV, people all dress glamorously, or they're all buying new things, social media the same way. So it's being reinforced as well. So when you engage in a behavior, it feels good. You get positive feedback. And then also you get this reinforcement. Then it gets ingrained and it becomes a habit. But we know, like any habit, often the best way to break it is through cold turkey or almost cold turkey. It's like smoking. If you, you know, if you're able to go without cigarettes for a substantial period of time, your craving reduces. It is the same thing with shopping, that once you find yourself, if you can tell yourself often enough, no, I don't need that. I don't need that. Hold back. Okay, hold back. Or, do you know what? I really love that, but I'm going to note it down and I'm going to give myself a week, 2 weeks, three, as long as you can, and I'm going to come back to it. If I still feel the need that I really must have it, then maybe. But the thing is, the longer you can delay that instant gratification and make it not instant, the more the craving reduces. Because your brain is not now working against you, because your reward center's calmed down, because you're not giving it what it wants every 2 seconds. So it goes, oh, that was fun. Why are you not doing it anymore? And you go, shh, quiet. It calms down. It gets on and it forgets about it. Okay. So it doesn't, because it's a learned association. your brain will stop associating shopping and clothes with positive feelings and, yeah, feeling good if you are not giving it that. It won't make the association anymore. So the longer you can go without doing that behavior and break that habit, then you will be more in control because it won't be a habit anymore. And then that does not mean that you can't shop ever again, but it will allow you to be more in control, because then when you do go to buy something, whether it's new from a sustainable brand, whether it's from a pre-loved fashion site, whether it's from a charity shop, whatever it is, you will do it a lot more consciously, and it will not be a knee-jerk reaction. It will not be driven out of your brain going, give me more, I like that, that feels good. It will be because you have consciously decided, do you know what, I've got a new job and all of my clothes are for an old role I used to do and they are just not fitting anymore. So I'm going to tailor some of those to make them fitting for it. What would really help me is if I had just a blazer to tie together my old pieces that they are more fitting for my new role. And then you know what you need, you know why you need it. And then, of course, always shop pre-loved first and you can go find that item. That will not lead to suddenly this addiction and habit picking back up again, because it's considered and it's conscious and you've broke the cycle of the habit already. So
yeah, I was about to say, I think consciousness and awareness is just such a big, big thing that need to be a bit more the forefront of like taking action, right? It's so funny because a friend of mine, she was over and we were just out of fun going through my clothes because I have so many clothes. And she said, like, it looks like a store in here. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she was like, maybe you can use this for your benefit instead of going shopping. Or, you know, because working in the industry, you get very easy access to more clothes through an allowance or through a uniform or whatever. So I just have pile on things. And I'm also leaning towards being a bit of a clothing hoarder. So I just have a lot of clothes. And she was like, maybe you should just go shopping in your own wardrobe. And that just stuck with me. Because if I feel like I want to embrace something new or I have something new, why don't I just be creative? Because she challenged me on a creative level. Like, you are such a creative person. Why don't you use that creativity and what you have to create something that you have never worn before? And that's kind of how I approach things now. And I, like I said, I haven't like shopped in a while, so it's really fun.
So there's even apps that allow you in wardrobe and they help you, so you can see your clothes that you've got on your phone, so then you're getting that kind of a sensory feedback that you would get when you're continuously flicking through your phone. But instead of looking at a website for brand new stuff, you're shopping your own wardrobe. That's really good.
Oh, I haven't heard of that. That's really cool. That's very innovative. Wow. Here we go. That's how the new fashion consumption should be, I think. Yeah, that's super interesting. Wow. Thank you so much. Yeah. We have talked about so many things and I'm so grateful for your time. We do have a closing tradition in this podcast that every episode every episode we challenge our listeners to facilitate growth, intentionality, and awareness with our hashtag StyleMyMind challenge. So my question is now, what challenge would you like to give our listeners to intentionally explore their relationship to clothes and their style?
Oh, you caught me off guard there. Because all I was thinking is, I wonder what nice clothes Jennifer's got in her wardrobe. Definitely should do like a clothing swap. That's what I was thinking about. Well, okay, a challenge. Hang on a second, let's see. I would just challenge them. So something I notice is sometimes people, and even I feel guilty of it, have fallen guilty of it, is wearing the same things in your wardrobe the same way over and over and over. This top goes with these trousers, I always wear this color, blah, blah. I would challenge people to go in their wardrobe and just try to wear something differently. And you can do it any which way. It might be just wearing it something different, you would have never worn it before, in a style or way that you think, oh, I've never kind of done that before. can I wear like a very like going out top that's like lacy with joggers? Can I do that? What will that look like? Will I look like J-Lo or something? Maybe give it a go. Or even, you know, maybe you might want to embellish something to change the style of it. But yeah, I would challenge them just to try to wear their wardrobe differently, and any element of it. I would like people to do that, to have fun with their clothes. So try to wear something differently.
That's amazing. And to you all listeners, you know the drill. If you feel confident in what you, you know, wore differently for the day, take a snap, take a photo, and feel free to post it on all the social medias under the hashtag StyleMyMindChallenge. And we're very happy to see what you came up with. So Dionne, I'm so sad we don't have all the time in the world to continue chatting. It has been such a pleasure. What? In case people want to learn more about you and what you do or how to get in touch with you, what are some ways they can do that?
They can find me obviously on Instagram. I'm going to be better at social media, but they can find me on Instagram. I'm at the fashion psychologist _, don't forget the underscore at the end. Or they can email me, which is I'm at info@styleandwellbeing.co.uk. And they can also find my website if they just Google, again, the fashion psychologist or Dr. Dionne Terralong, and they can find me that way. Yep.
Fantastic. And you will also find all of this information in our info box. And yeah, feel free to reach out and dive into the world of a fashion psychologist a bit deeper. Thank you again for joining me and have a wonderful day. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, share, do all of the beautiful things, and always keep your head held high, embrace how you dress, and always be open to style your mind. Thank you very much.